Hello, this is Dr. Mark Rohde. I'm a psychologist who specializes in addictions treatment. The subject of today's podcast is dealing with cravings. Quite simply, cravings are your body's way of telling you that you're an addict. The initial cravings that you experienced were the result of your body going through physical withdrawal and your body missing the drug or alcohol that you'd become adjusted to on a regular basis. But further into recovery, the cravings are more likely to be triggered by memory traces that, while fading, are still very present in your mind. It's interesting, and more than a bit distressing, that the feelings of many of these cravings are commonly just the opposite of the drugs that you are using. First, I want to start with a bit of information about physics, neurology, and later on, cats. There's a principle in physics that states that no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. I think that notion pretty well stands for itself. Any questions? Good. Which leads us to neurology. You may be interested to know why rubbing or massaging the area around an injury tends to minimize the perception of pain. It's basically the same idea. If you rub or massage your skin, some of the nerves that have been transmitting pain impulses to the brain will start to transmit the impulses associated with rubbing or massaging, so it will feel like it hurts less. Actually, it will hurt less. Well, when you've got a craving, you want to create some competition for these thoughts and feelings. So it's a great idea to immediately do something that is grossly incompatible with the craving. Remember, no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. Let's apply that concept to your brain and your body. You know, thoughts and feelings. Also, cravings. Now, can you knit a scarf and play racquetball simultaneously? Probably not. Can you solve quadratic equations while also making love? Possibly, but you'd be a rather poor partner. Your reputation would suffer badly, and I wouldn't recommend it. My point is that occupying your body and mind with incompatible ideas and behaviors will tend to nudge out, or at least limit, the power of the craving. So what to do? Since cravings that are left alone are likely to build on themselves, get your mind and body engaged in something. Get to a recovery meeting, go for a jog, bake some cookies, call a sober friend, play a video game, practice yoga, engage in meditation, go to the driving range, take a very hot shower, or doing a breathing exercise if you've been taught one. You might want to try some very hard physical labor, seek the guidance of your higher power, watch a favorite movie, read from the big book, check out some YouTube videos, view a TED talk, or give your hamster a bath. Okay, bad idea. Give your dog a bath. It's sometimes helpful to consider what's likely to happen if you give in to the craving. You may have been in that place before. Think very hard about what it's like to wake up in a hospital with tubes extending from every orifice of your body and only a very vague recall of how you got there. You may remember what it's like to be put in the back of a police cruiser with some focus on the alternating white, red, and blue flashing lights. You might picture the disappointment on your spouse's face or the uncomfortable phone calls you've had from creditors, your boss, or maybe a probation officer. Maybe you remember doing a face plant into the snow on the way back from a frat party. Perhaps you recall the condition of your car after an accident, or remember looking at your car's insurance bill after a series of vehicular challenges. Think about looking into the face of a loved one, perhaps your mom or son, trying to explain the unexplainable. You have a lot of reasons to maintain sobriety. If you string all these ideas together into a mental movie, playing it in your head will give you lots of reasons to stay out of harm's way. In contrast to looking at the challenges that relapse brings, it may also be useful to focus on what your life will be like if you continue down a path of recovery. Everyone's path is different, but it typically involves relationships that are rewarding, a job that you enjoy, perhaps schooling that increases your options, service to others that may also enhance yourself, perhaps even having a bank account that isn't bleeding red ink. You might want to consider the recreational pursuits that are just crazy cool that you'll be able to enjoy. I'm not sure that you're exactly the right age for a bucket list, But knowing where you want to go, thinking about what you want to do, and considering a positive future is apt to aid you in your journey toward getting there. If cravings persist, give some thought to your physical and mental health. If you've had a persistent cough, some trouble with your stomach, or just can't sleep, see your physician and check out what might be behind the problem. On the other hand, cravings are often worse if you've not addressed nagging difficulties with mental health. You know, depression, perhaps old traumatic memories, a difficult relationship, or a challenging coworker. Okay, you've got a whole variety of ideas to try. You know, in a sense, your past is always present, at least in your memory. But those cravings and many negative memories will fade over time. They're kind of like stray cats. They will go away if you don't feed them. Well, that's it. Try to keep the physics, neurology, and cats in mind. It might be useful for you to write down a few things to keep you on track. Things like, what situations do you want to avoid that are related to your addiction? When you're well into your path of recovery, what will your life look like then? And what will you do today to move yourself in the direction of your dreams?